Next on BYU Sports Nation, Kenneth Rook shocks the world yet again, this time winning the silver medal in the Olympics. We'll discuss just how impressive his last year has been. And as we get closer to the start of the football season, we'll debate who are the five most important players for Cougar football in 2024.
Well, it's not coordinator's corner, but it's close. We talk with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick, who discusses improvements that he's seen from the offense during camp. And defensive coordinator Jay Hill will break down what his defense is doing best right now and where they need to improve before game one against the Salukis.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, August 8th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man who found footage from one of our devoted fans in Paris, no less, at Stade de Paris, or whatever it is, the Paris Stadium. And apparently this fan is super excited for today's show specifically, Jason.
Yeah, well, look, I mean, it's fun to watch, and you can kind of see BYU fans all over the world, right? And there just happened to be this random BYU fan that we saw in the stands yesterday, and I guess he was just really, really excited about today's show. In fact, we have some footage. Let's watch this.
We'll finish the
show. We'll finish the show. We're here for the whole hour.
Ed Eystone, once again, with an unforgettable point of view
from
where he
was
sitting.
How about that right next to the track?
And that experience. He meets Snoop Dogg, and then the next day, his star runner gets the first individual silver medal in almost three decades for a BYU athlete.
What an unbelievable achievement. We're going to get into this. It's just unbelievable. But to see Ed and just that raw
emotion.
Pure emotion.
Yes.
That like nothing else in the world is happening right now except this. And it's just awesome.
In the spirit of what you just saw from Ed Eystone, all rise and shout, finish! It's time for What's Trending.
Really special. It feels like a dream.
It's very much reality. Always nice when you feel like you're dreaming, but then you're actually awake. It's real.
Yeah.
Kenneth Rooks is he's living the dream. Olympic glory for the steeplechase superstar representing Steeple U, no less. Kenneth Rooks, the former national champion in a couple of ways, both in the NCAA level and the actual United States champion.
Be honest, he's a national champion in life.
Oh, my
goodness.
He's
winning. He's winning. Seriously. In this game of life.
Best year ever. My gosh. Yesterday wins the silver medal in a stunning race. Nobody expected him, one, to finish in the top half, let alone medal.
Yeah.
Jason, wild. So just to sum it up a little bit more, you heard him say it feels like a dream. Let's hear from Kenneth last night after the race, addressing Cougar Nation specifically.
Kenneth Rooks here. I'm feeling amazing right now after getting that silver medal in the steeplechase. It's really special. It feels like a dream, and it's awesome to share this moment with all the people from BYU who came out and all of you BYU family who are back home, and to share also with my family as well here. And it's just been really special. Still taking it in, and I hope you were all still taking it in as well, but just super excited and very grateful.
Ever understated,
yes.
Kenneth Rooks.
Yes.
He is so humble,
yep.
But he is built differently, Jason. And that reaction is my favorite. I think all of us were feeling that to a degree as the final 300 meters were happening.
And we're seeing this being used more and more now in the last 24 hours. Like, what's the let's put this into today's society and context.
Yes.
What is the bigger deal, winning the silver medal at the Olympics or turning into a meme that we're going to see for years?
Why not do both?
Well, he's done
and
both.
He's done both. But how crazy. I loved the cadence of the play-by-play broadcasters because they could not contain their disbelief that Kenneth Rooks was leading the pack up to, what, maybe 150 meters right. to go? And then it's a dead heat as they go over that final barrier? That was crazy, Jason.
Yeah, look, and you said it. We knew that Kenneth, we know everything that Kenneth has accomplished. But going into these Olympics and going into this race, this was an unexpected result. And that doesn't take anything away from Kenneth. So the fact then that he was able to do this just adds to the story and his lore as an athlete and on this type of stage. And look, and he even said it in one of the interviews. I can't remember who he was talking to. I watched so many interviews with Kenneth afterwards. You know, he's like, I really thought I had a chance to win the gold.
Well, I think it was to Lewis Johnson of NBC.
Yeah, there you go. So, you know, and seeing that, and then he starts to fall back. Then he falls into third. And at that point, you're thinking, well, he's at least going to get a medal. And then I was having this conversation with our producer, Colton, before the show started. And I said, one of the things that impresses me so much about, you know, events like this, that it is, it's more about the distance. It's not just the sprint. Is that you run for so long, and then at the very end, wherever you go to get it, you're able to dig down and find that extra push.
Yeah.
And when he fell into third place, it kind of looked like that's where it was going to go. And then he found whatever it was, pushed himself back into second, and finishes with the silver. It was just an unbelievable moment.
Very few people in the elite worldwide steeplechase community knew who Kenneth Rooks was when that race began.
Yeah.
We knew who he was because Team USA is covered largely by NBC, based in the United States of America, and we knew about Kenneth's story. But outside of our country borders, he was, again, not anything close to a favorite to medal. Mm-hmm. He was projected to finish, if we're looking at times and qualifying and how that all happened, in the back half, which is where he was halfway, even more than halfway through the race. He was at the back of the pack, but I kept saying to the students and the people that I was watching with here in the building, he's got this gear, just wait. He's going to settle in. And what he did that was so brilliant was he was aware of where the reigning gold medal winner was. And he kind of attached himself to that guy knowing, okay, this guy's got the pace. If I can stay with him or even in front of him, then I'm going to set myself up for good things. It was a brilliant race and incredible conditioning. Personal best by 9 seconds.
Yes. A significant increase.
By 9 seconds. So he goes from 8:15 to 8:06 in the biggest stage, the biggest race of his life. So no one knew who he was. Everybody in the steeplechase community worldwide now knows the name Kenneth Rooks. And I imagine this is his debut at the Olympics, that he's probably going to go back for another because it's in Los Angeles in 2028.
Yeah, absolutely. Can we put that full screen back up for people to see?
Oh, just his accomplishments in the last year?
Yeah, let's go over what Kenneth Rooks has done just recently. Hmm. In 2023, he was the NCAA national champion, also a USA champion. And then this year, the USA champion at the Olympic trials, and then the silver medalist at the Olympics. What a 12 months or so for Kenneth Rooks.
Jason.
Wow.
Seriously, a little more than 14 months, and now he has got this defined legacy as not just a BYU track and field athlete, but as an American track and field athlete. Awesome. BYU does not win individual medals often, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later. In fact, why don't we do it right now with our stat of the day?
It's the BYU Sports Nation stat of the day.
Kenneth Rooks is the first individual medalist. Not a team. That was Guard Young with the gymnastics squad in 04. First individual medalist out of BYU at a Summer Olympics since Frank Fredericks did it in 1996, the great sprinter, Frankie Fredericks, who had a silver in the 100 meters and 200 meters. It's been almost three decades since we've seen something from a BYU athlete like Kenneth Rooks pulled off yesterday.
Look, obviously we know Kenneth and we know his story. We've gotten to know him personally. But I will say this, and I'm not saying he's the only good guy that's running. That's, you know, we just don't know the other people like we know Kenneth. It is so awesome to see good people be rewarded for their hard work like this.
100%.
I love these stories, and I love a story like what we saw yesterday, where and I thought what you said about the commentators on the broadcast, like, that was pure emotion because
yes,
it was unexpected, and you could feel how excited they were because they could see how this was playing out.
Yes.
And that's the type of stuff you can't manufacture. That is in the heat of the moment, pure raw emotion that you can't fake.
Yes.
And it's awesome.
Henry Marsh is a name that resurfaced yesterday because Henry Marsh is a retired runner now, but he was dubbed the Stormin' Mormon at one point for his success in the Olympics as a steeplechase star in the late 70s and early 80s. And now it's Kenneth Rooks who was dubbed once again by the media as they pointed to Henry Marsh, the next Stormin' Mormon in the steeplechase.
What an unbelievable day for Kenneth Rooks, his family, and BYU and Team USA, all the above.
All of the emotions. I watched the race and the finish to the race probably, this is not an exaggeration, I probably watched it 14 to 15 times. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
It got better and better as I watched it again and again, and chills. We talk about those moments, just straight up chills to watch Kenneth realize what he had just pulled off. So a hearty congratulations to Kenneth, the Rooks family, the track and field community, to all the coaches that went into it for what just happened in Paris. That was amazing. All right, that takes us to our question of the day. We want to know, and have you fill in the blank on the following. Kenneth Rooks winning a silver medal at the Paris Olympics is the greatest individual accomplishment by a current or former BYU athlete since when? He's in a very elite class, yeah. Jason.
Yes.
Ben Peterson on Instagram says, Ty Detmer winning the Heisman Trophy. It's kind of accomplishment we're talking about.
It's one of the first things I thought of as well.
Mason Croxall on Instagram. Since Jimmer Fredette won National Player of the Year, since he was the best in college basketball in 2011, this is a special, special territory Kenneth is in. Hashtag BYUS on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Keep that conversation going.
All right, we will talk more about Kenneth Rooks a little bit later on, but let's switch gears and talk some BYU football. Every football season, there are players who play the most vital role. And sometimes they're obvious. Sometimes there are players that sort of come out of nowhere and play a bigger role than what you had anticipated.
There'll be a few of those.
Yeah, and there always are. But there are always these guys that play these vital roles in the team's ultimate success that year. So in regards to this year for BYU football, who are BYU football's five most important players in your mind?
Oh, man. This is tough, because there are a lot of important moving pieces in the ultimate team sport. But I'm going to start my list of five with number five, and I'll count down to one with Keanu Hill. And we'll talk in detail about each of these gentlemen in just a minute. He's followed at number four by transfer linebacker Jack Kelly. LJ Martin at number three, BYU fans. Me included, Jason included, all of us, coaches, staff, personnel, hoping he's healthy early in the season. At number two, Caleb Etienne for me on the offensive line. And at number one, it's a combination of the quarterbacks, Gary Bohannon and Jake Retzlaff, because one, we don't know who the starter is going to be. And two, we probably are going to see both of them on the field this year and need both of them the way that football goes these days. That's my list of five. Again, we'll talk about why they are where they are in just a moment. But Jason, how about you roll out your top five?
Yeah, we are similar. There are a couple of changes.
Okay.
And these are not lists that we compared before. These were done separately. But just like you, I have Keanu Hill at number five.
Oh, wow.
I also have Jack Kelly At number four, I think this guy is going to blow up. I
remember number 17, yeah, folks.
Yeah. Number three, I have Tyler Batty. Number two, I have Hinkley Ropati. So we're on the same page in terms of a running back. I'm just going with Hinkley Ropati because right now we don't know what the situation is with LJ Martin and what his availability is going to be and when. So I think a lot's going to fall on the shoulders and the very strong legs of Hinkley Ropati. And then I'm with you. Number one, the quarterback. Whoever the quarterback is and whoever the starter is, and just like you said, like the days of being able to have just one quarterback that makes it from game one through the bowl game, those days are few and far between. You need to have two quarterbacks because in most cases, two quarterbacks play for almost every team. So, yeah, the similar list. There are a couple of variations. But let's start. Why did you have – because we both had Keanu Hill and Jack Kelly. Yes. Let's kind of start there.
Okay, so the tight end position has been lost at BYU for a few seasons.
Yep.
And it's not because BYU hasn't had the talent, per se, and the capability. The tight end just has not been as prominent a part of BYU's offense over the last few seasons. And last year's offensive struggles in general hurt that for sure. But moving Keanu Hill to tight end now gives BYU a legitimate red zone threat. He should be special when BYU gets inside the 20-yard line in scoring category because he's got a big frame, Jason. He's put on a ton of muscle, but he still has those nuanced skill sets of a wide receiver, and he's got wide receiver hands. I think Keanu could be a very dangerous weapon. And then we've talked ad nauseum about Jack Kelly and his ability to just get side to side. His lateral movement, the way he closes on the ball is incredible. He should lead BYU in tackles, which is why I have him at number four.
Yeah, we're on the same page in terms of the rationale for that. I had Tyler Batty, and we've spent so much time talking about the need for a push up front.
Yes.
And I think when you look at that defensive front, the guy that's probably going to get the most attention is Tyler Batty. So if Tyler can have the type of year that we know he's capable of and we hope he has, I think he just proves to be such an important part. And so that's why I went with Tyler Batty on the defensive
line.
Sure,
I mean, he's all Big 12 preseason
He's BYU's
selection, the only guy. And for what it's worth, he was the guy that was first off my list.
Yeah. See, the interesting part, you had Caleb Etienne. And look, I have spent so much time talking about the importance of the offensive line, and I absolutely wanted to address the offensive line here. But for me, I looked at it more as the entire position,
the unit,
so all five guys,
the collective group,
as opposed to a single guy. That's why I didn't have him on my list.
So I've got Caleb there because he's playing left tackle.
Yeah.
And BYU has put three consecutive left tackles into the National Football League in the draft, which is a pretty stinking cool accomplishment. And TJ Woods said, well, the goal is to make it four straight. And he said that Caleb, he didn't want to use the word surprise. He said, I always knew he had the capability to be an elite offensive lineman, and I believe that we've got him in position now with the coaching and the right mentality that he can reach that next level.
He has the skills.
I mean, he's got the frame, the skill set, the pedigree to be an NFL offensive lineman. If he can protect the left side, I think it'll do wonders for the run game, obviously, and BYU's passing attack. Got to protect the blind side of your quarterback. And then is there any question as to why the quarterbacks are at number one?
Yeah. No explanation needed at the quarterback spot.
Come on. Like, if BYU's good quarterback play is the difference between the Cougars winning 8 or 9 games and 4 or 5 games.
Like, it's the most important position in all of sports.
They can swing literally like 3 games.
Yep.
By not turning the ball over and then by performing well and scoring points. So there you go. Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, number three, women's soccer will try to bounce back after falling to UVU last night in exhibition action when they host Wyoming in their final exhibition game. That will be tomorrow night at 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app and on ESPN+.
After the break, I go one-on-one with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick. Picture day was yesterday. He was kind enough to join me. We discussed the latest in the quarterback battle, when he wants to pick a starter, and where he believes the offense has improved the most. This is BYUSN.
Say cheese.
Yeah, we're going really fast. Looks like he's been playing tight end his whole career. I mean, he is a natural. I'm not in a hurry at all. Usually it's not my decision. At some point in camp, it becomes apparent to the whole team.
We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside the fabulous Jason Shepherd. Yesterday, I had a chance to speak with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick as the Cougars wrapped up their picture day festivities in the indoor practice facility. On topic, naturally, the quarterback battle. And has anyone created separation? Also, why he feels like the offense has taken a significant step forward compared to last year. And they need to. One-on-one with BYU offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick.
Coach, we're about a week into fall camp, so safe to say you have all of the answers right now, right?
Yeah, far from it. But yeah, we're getting better. We're working and making progress every day.
Let's dig in a little bit. What do you feel like has manifested itself or has become apparent and that you feel good about a week into camp this year?
Just the attitude of our team. I feel good about that part. We have a long way to go and we have a lot to prove, but I think everyone is really hungry to prove that we're a good team. You know, and I think everyone was disappointed in how we played a year ago overall. And we all have kind of been through this now, you know, learned some good lessons. And the attitude of our team right now is, I would say, hungry, confident, but, you know, humble enough to know we've got a lot of work to do.
How do you quantify that edge and the proverbial chip on the shoulder? Because you've been in a lot of camps. Yeah. It's been around before. So why is it more prominent this year, or how do you see that it's more prominent?
Well, I think it's just it comes with having some veteran players that have been through some that are battle tested. We have a lot of, especially on offense, we have a lot of returning starters, a lot of players who played a lot of snaps last year who now know what it takes. And all those guys know now that there's no days off. Every single day is, you know, every play, you gotta prove yourself every snap, every day, and you've never arrived. And then if you have a setback, you got to move on because the next one's tough. You know, I think our guys are learning those things. So I see that work ethic, you know, in practice right now.
That is a unique perspective because, I mean, entitlement is a thing that you have to battle as a coach, especially for the upperclassmen. So what have you seen from your upperclassmen to make you feel like those guys are all there to prove that they deserve it and it's not just going to be given to them?
Well, there's just some maturity now. You know, I think a year ago we had good players. We had good enough players to play with all the teams on our schedule, but we didn't always operate as a unit like we had in years past. I think part of that was playing against really good quality opponents. Part of that was scheme. You know, we played against some new schemes that we hadn't seen in a couple of years or ever. And then I just think some of it was just youth. You know, some of those guys were younger, hadn't played as much. And now a year later, we've all played together. We've been through these battles, so I'm seeing just you know, those leaders kind of bringing the other guys along. Like, okay, here's how it's going to be, and they're running the show. We're more, I think, player led this year.
Let's dig a little deeper into that comment. Having gone through what you did as a team last year and learned some tough lessons, what will you take from that previous year of experience that you feel like is going to benefit you the most in year two of Big 12 competition?
Just a next play mentality. No matter what happens on this play, good or bad, got to play the next snap and then play the snap after that and play it, be present, be in that moment. And that goes for every day in your preparation. You know, just be present today and do everything we can today to get better and then do it again tomorrow. And as long as we focus on that process, I'm really confident that the end result at the end of the year will be good. You know, it's a waste of time to think about end of the year stuff. You know, think about what a win total is going to look like or what kind of stats our team's going to have or what kind of stats any individual is going to have. We're trying to focus on what we can do each day to get better, how to be prepared, prepare as well as I can today. And then when we get into our games, playing that way, just play each play, you know, along the way. And if you win a game, you bury it and you play the next one. If you lose a game, you bury it and you play the next one. I think those things are going to show up this year.
When you look at the individual position groups, we're talking about improvement. over the course of not just 1 week of fall camp, but maybe from last year to where you are now, which position group do you think has made the biggest strides on the offensive side of the ball?
Offensive line, tight ends. It's probably a tie between those two. I think just seen a dramatic improvement there in just our execution and physicality. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that now. We got to do it in a game, you know. But I've seen it in practice. I know it's there. I know it can happen, and I'm looking forward to those guys doing it in a real game.
What kind of a difference at those two positions, because they now have new coaches, have T.J. Woods and Kevin Gilbride made for BYU football?
Well, first of all, they're both excellent coaches, and they've both done a great job. I think the credit, though, starts with the players. That those guys, particularly the offensive linemen, I think have shown a lot of determination to come back and have a strong year. And so it starts with those guys and their character. I think each of them, those guys have, you know, really, they're all really quality people, and they all want to prove that they're better than what they showed last year. And then as far as the coaching part goes, I think TJ and Kevin Gilbride have both worked really well together. They both bring a lot of experience. TJ's been an awesome coach for a long time in college football, and Coach Gilbride brings, you know, years of NFL experience that's really brought some new wrinkles to what we're doing, and I've learned a lot from him already.
All right, I was joking with your good friend Fessy Satake a couple of days ago about a calendar and circling a date on when is the desired date. Like, if you could pinpoint a time where you're like, okay, this would – not that it's going to happen, but this would be an ideal date to have a starter name, because the opinions are wide and varying, but you're the man, and the team in part, as you pointed out, they'll tell you when it's time. When would you like to have a starter in place at quarterback?
I would like it to be when it's obvious to everybody. You know, it shouldn't be my decision. It shouldn't be any coach's decision. Most of the time, with my experience with these things, you know, there's a point where everyone on the team knows, okay, that guy's earned it. And that was the case with Zach Wilson. That was the case with Jaren Hall. That was the case with Keaton Slovis last year. There comes a time in the camp or at some point in the season where it becomes clear who your quarterback is. And, you know, I'm hoping that that's the way it plays out. Now, there are rare occasions where you have to make a tough decision, and maybe that will happen. But right now what we're doing is we're competing, and I'm looking forward to the day when the whole team knows it and the whole team can get behind that guy.
And you don't have to be asked about it anymore.
Yeah, it's fine. It's part of the job. I enjoy it. I love coaching both of those guys. They're both doing a good job. And I do believe, regardless of what happens in the competition, I do believe that we can, you know, win any game on our schedule with either one of them if it comes to it.
You've been very clear that you expect that you'll probably have to use both of them at some point. That's the state of college football now. How do you prepare both guys for that unique situation? Because things are changing, and attrition is real, and injuries are very real.
Yeah, reps are hard to come by, so that's a challenge. However, you know, Gary's a very experienced player, and then we're fortunate that Jake got to play a lot last year. He played four full games, and so they both have experience that we can lean on as we divvy up the reps. And so, you know, that's comforting, I think, to know that both of them have played in real games, and you know, aren't going to freak out when the lights come on. You know, they'll go out there and play like they play in practice.
Where would you say, and I'm going to ask you a question about both of them, but where does Gary have an advantage in this competition?
Well, probably just his overall experience. He's started a lot of games. Now, his disadvantage is he hasn't played in 2 years. So, but I would say the two of them have a lot more in common than they do differences. You know, they're very – and I said this about Jaren and Zach when we had those two guys, is their skill sets overlapped quite a bit. And the same thing with these two guys. They're both good runners. They're both good passers. They're both very smart and both very capable. And so the differences actually are fewer than the similarities.
And then just to follow up with Jake – Where does he carry an advantage at this point?
Just he has a little more time in our system than Gary. He's learned it, but Jake's really got mastery of the system, and Gary is just about there. But he's performing at a high level. He's had some good practices, but yeah, that would be the advantage he has, just a little bit more time in our system.
Okay, final question for you, Coach. What's the best thing And this can be anything inside or outside of camp, but the best thing you've seen in 1 week of BYU football fall camp.
Best thing I've seen, seeing Hinkley Ropati back on the field playing full speed. I saw him get tackled yesterday in a live drill. It was a 2-yard gain. He got tackled and he got up and went back in the huddle. And I was just happy to see him back playing football, full contact. He's been through a lot. He's a really well-liked teammate, you know, and that did my heart some good to see him back out there. Yep.
He's sneaky fast too, which is how I could explain you as a player, right?
He's a lot faster than me and a lot harder to tackle. Yeah.
Coach, we appreciate the time. Best of luck the rest of the way through fall camp.
Aaron Roderick on BYU Sports Nation. Great stuff.
Absolutely. If you miss any of our fall camp interviews or coverage, you can always find them on demand on BYUSN.com or on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel.
We'll keep the show rolling with throwing darts only, Jason, in the whip. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. And it is time to roll out our daily BYU football trivia question as we continue our ongoing celebration of 100 seasons of BYU football. I thought I was stumped yesterday, Jason.
You nailed it.
But I got it.
You got UNLV.
UNLV was the answer yesterday. What do you have for us today, Colton?
All right, today's question. When Pete Van Valkenburg ran for 1,386 yards in 1972, he led the nation in rushing yards. Only time a BYU player has led the country in rushing. Where does Fleet Pete's 1972 season rank in BYU's record book for single season rushing yards?
1,386. Well, Algier holds the record with 1,601. Luke Staley ran for over 1,500 yards. Jamal Williams had a big season.
Harvey
Unga.
I'm going to say fifth.
Fleet Pete at number five.
I'm going five. I'm going to say fifth. That is my final answer.
Did Harvey ever break 1,386?
I don't know. I'm going to go five. I'm saying five.
Man, and Taysom Hill ran for 1,200 yards. Okay. You going five?
I'm sticking with five.
I'm going to go four, Colton.
You're both wrong today. It is third.
Oh, it's third.
Just 11 yards ahead of Jamal Williams.
Oh, so Jamal
did not surpass him.
Wow. Okay. All right. So Jamal was 1,375, you said, Colton?
Huh. Oh, you were less wrong than I was, at least by a spot.
Okay, yeah, the fourth. I thought Jamal had gotten him. Wow, still third. That's amazing.
That's impressive.
From 72 to still have that be a top three rushing mark on a season. Attaboy, Pete.
Very nice.
That's outstanding stuff.
Does not get talked about enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Does not.
Especially when it was Lavelle Edwards' first year as head coach and the passing attack was here. Crazy stuff. All right, good stuff there. And we're on to today's headlines.
Not sure if you've heard about this yet, but Kenneth Rooks won the silver medal in yesterday's steeplechase final at the Paris Olympics.
Look at those images.
Running an incredible race where he was in last place multiple times during the race, but took the lead on the final lap and was able to hold on for the silver medal. Rooks ran a personal best time of 8:06.41. That's 9 seconds faster than his previous best time. Rooks became just the third American male to ever take silver in the steeplechase and the first BYU individual athlete to medal in an Olympics since Frank Fredericks back in 1996.
I mentioned Henry Marsh, the great steeplechaser from BYU. He never medaled in the Olympics. So Kenneth got him there. Kenneth broke his BYU record in the steeplechase, and now Kenneth has medaled in the Olympics, which the great Henry Marsh did not do as well. Wild. BYU fall football camp continues today, practice number 8. And I was told, after the defense had won the majority of the early practices, that the offense had a quote-unquote great day on Tuesday. So defense a little fired up about that. As we mentioned, everyone took pictures. We had a lot of great conversations. You'll see a lot of those on the upcoming segments of BYU Sports Nation.
There are two NFL preseason games tonight, both featuring former Cougars. Brady Christensen and the Carolina Panthers travel to New England to play Sione Takitaki and the Patriots. Also, Caleb Hayes and the New York Giants host the Detroit Lions at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey.
BYU women's soccer currently ranked third in the coaches poll. They dropped an exhibition match last night 2-0 to Utah Valley. UVU scoring both of those goals late in the second half. Jen Rockwood's squad, very young, lost a ton of experience, looking to bounce back tomorrow in an exhibition match against Wyoming. More on this just a moment in the Whip.
Yep, and Daniel Schneeman and the Cleveland Guardians played the Arizona Diamondbacks in a doubleheader yesterday. Schneeman went 1-for-3 with a single and a walk in the two games while playing third base, right field, and shortstop. I also believe he sold some Cracker Jacks and peanuts during the seventh inning stretch.
Every time I hear the name Schneeman, I think of two things. Slim Shady, whatever. Slim, sick of Slim Schneeman. Okay. And two, Captain Hook's right-hand man.
Schmee. Yeah, right? Schmee, yes.
It's a little different. Yeah. That's what I think of. I know.
Wasn't the guy on School of Rock Schneebly?
Schneebly.
See, that's what I think of.
That's a third now. Yeah. You've added to the list. All right. Those are the headlines. As I mentioned, now some opinions in the Whip. Start us off, Jason.
All right. How concerned are you after BYU women's soccer lost at UVU yesterday?
I'm concerned, but I'm well aware of what's happening. And the fact that BYU had, I think they said 11 seniors. I know that they honored 10, but there were 11. 5 draft picks. Like
top 4 scorers on last year's team are gone.
At some point, you have to have a rebuilding year. This is a rebuild for BYU. So they're clearly trying to figure some things out. And exhibition matches are an opportunity for coaches to put a lot of different lineups and rotations out on the field to try and figure out who your best 11 are.
Yeah.
So I'm concerned, but I'm aware of what's going on. It's going to take a while for BYU to figure this thing out.
Yeah, I mean, it's exhibition. UVU's decent. You're on the road. It is a developmental year.
UVU's probably going to be an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned. Would you prefer to beat them? Well, of course. But I'm not overly concerned.
Yesterday, we discussed just how big of a deal it is that Jaren Hall is fourth string on the Minnesota Vikings quarterback depth chart. Well, recently, Bleacher Report's David Kenyon listed 5 potential QB trade targets and included Jaren Hall, pointing out your Kansas City Chiefs as a potential good fit. Jason, would you like to see Jaren Hall in Kansas City?
I would love to see Jaren Hall in Kansas City. It's my team. I would love to have him be able to learn under Andy Reid.
And Patrick Mahomes.
Carson Wentz is the backup right now.
Amazing.
In terms of like being able to play, he's not going to be able to play in Kansas City because he's going to be at best third string quarterback. But just the opportunity to learn in that system, absolutely, I'd love to have him in KC.
I think that'd be a great fit. Make him the third string quarterback right now and let him learn from two very, very experienced quarterbacks. One of them, the MVP, Jason.
Yes, indeed. So on Tuesday, if you were on social media, you probably kept getting these posts about darts only. Colorado Football posted this video of Shedeur Sanders' touchdown pass in practice with the caption, "Darts only." And we apologize for radio listeners. Did you notice the edit in between? It clearly is 2 separate plays.
It looks like it.
They
release video of a wide angle that shows that it's not, and it's just a bad edit.
It's a bad edit that made it look like they took 2 separate plays and put them together. So everybody was obviously mocking them yesterday or on social media. Our very own Hemahe Mooley made his own version of this darts only, and it has gone viral.
Water bottle toss into the recycling bin.
Close to 1 million engagements, I believe, on this thing.
First try.
Is this a gold medal post from Hema?
Yes. That is absolutely a gold medal offering.
So awesome. I even saw Idaho doing their own trolling
post of Colorado. So many places got in the mix. Shedeur Sanders is a very talented quarterback with an incredible arm. It was an unfortunate edit.
The edit did nobody favors with Colorado.
It didn't do any of those guys favors. Like, just if you want to show it, show the whole unedited clip from the wide angle. And that's what came out after the fact. It's like, well, just show that then. People, have you ever heard of a wheel route? Yeah, we've heard of a wheel route, but like the edit did you no favors.
Yeah, didn't you no favors.
None. Right. Oh, that's hilarious. Well done, Hema. Million engagements?
Yeah.
Someone needs to sponsor his account. Make it happen. Hema needs an NIL deal. After the break, my one-on-one with BYU defensive coordinator Jay Hill. We discuss the best thing the defense is doing right now. And is he buying into the idea that the defense has dominated much of the first week of camp? This is BYUSN.
The expectations in our building are extremely high, and I know our guys are hungry for that. We have Tyler Batty, who's one of the best in the Big 12 at getting after the quarterback. Logan Latui and Isaiah Bagna, they're anxious to get after the quarterback. It's as deep as a group as I've ever had.
All these guys are ready to go.
And we are ready to go. For more BYU Sports Nation, welcome back to the show, live in Studio B. I had an opportunity not only to speak with offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick yesterday, but the guy in charge of the other side of the ball on defense, Jay Hill, in year two of his defense. Feels like this is a better BYU football team. The question is why? He answers that and more. One-on-one with defensive coordinator Jay Hill.
Coach, I'm just going to throw this out there to begin, but 1 week through fall camp, I've heard from some of the members of your staff that they feel like the defense is, they've won the first week of camp. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, I was feeling really good, and then the offense had a really good day yesterday. I think we've seen really good progress with assignment. I think our techniques are getting better. We're making more plays. But, again, yesterday the offense had a really good day.
Your colleague Aaron Roderick just spoke about how things are changing in the mentality of the players. There's less entitlement. Guys feel like they have to show up and earn it every day. How have you seen that evolve through this camp compared to last year?
Well, I think there's a lot more depth right now on our football team, and the competition because of the depth has got much better. And now that you just don't have the ability to go out there and screw up, you don't have the ability to act undisciplinedly. It's created much more accountability, which is good. And then, you know, a tribute to the players. They're fighting like crazy to do what we're asking them to do, and they're doing a lot of things right. And I like the accountability that was stressed to them from the strength coaches over the summer.
Where have you seen the biggest differences in that regard, specifically strength and conditioning?
Well, I think our guys are bigger, stronger, and faster. And then I see a great increase in our fluidity at safety. Those are the guys that get to work with every day. I think they're moving better, and I think they're stronger and more explosive.
I don't know how many teams in America have six different players that started at safety, but here we are with BYU. And you have some new guys that are legitimately vying for some time. So how do you balance a room that has seven or eight guys that could play?
Well, I've told that room now, there's six or seven guys that I really trust that we can go in and win with. And those guys have started games for us. We've won games with them. They're being pushed hard by these young guys. The key right now is we need someone to step up and start playing at an all-conference, all-American level. And that's the expectation here. And to be a starter at BYU, you're going to have to play at a high level.
I know you want to create a lot of chaos and disruption. The defensive line, as you pointed out, is an area where you can see some growth in that. So what have you seen from those guys up front that make you feel like you're going to be more disruptive in the trenches?
Well, just looking at the starters, you know, John Nelson and Blake Mangelson, Tyler Batty, Isaiah Bagna, those guys got way stronger in this offseason. So they're as big and strong as they've ever been. I see those guys playing better. But the depth that we've added, some of the most talented guys we have are some of the new guys that we just added. And so I like the competition that they've brought. They pushed those veteran guys to get better, and they did. And they're pushing for playing time. So, again, the competition in the group has just got better and better.
Gary Bohannon told me the other day that the blitz package, at least what you've shown to the offense in practice, has taken him for some surprises. And he said, I'm not going to lie, Coach Hill and his staff, they're doing a great job with that. What are you doing? What can you tell us, at least, that you're doing with those blitz packages to disguise some things?
Well, I can tell you this. He's only seen about a third of it. So we start really pretty slowly in camp. We want them good at our base defenses. We're adding blitzes each day. I think it's only going to get harder and harder for the quarterbacks, which is good. And now, instead of just repping things to make sure we've got it run in practice, we can start implementing it more for what it's really used for and not just trying to get it repped. And I think that that's when we're going to get really good at BYU, is when we understand why we're calling certain things and where we can be really aggressive. Then I think we'll take our defense to another level.
I know it's year two of your tenure as the defensive coordinator, but Kalani has said, I expect everyone to take a major jump, and the work in the offseason has helped with that. So how has that shown itself when you let them go and you trust them, but when they showed up day one, what told you they have put in the work?
Well, first thing is shout out to our strength coaches, because I think they did a phenomenal job preparing our players for camp. We're bigger, stronger, and faster than we've been. I think the discipline of the group is much better. The accountability is much higher, and A-Rod hit on that stuff too. But that, and you throw in that they spent more time watching film. I think they're better with their assignments right now than they were a year ago at this time. And I just think the trust that we have in them and they have in us is continuing to grow. And it's not where it needs to be for game one, but we're in a much better spot right now.
I want to ask you about Ben Bywater, and I know you've already addressed it a number of times, but more specifically, how can you use him maybe as a motivator still in a way where he's not going to play, and to help that linebacker room specifically?
Well, last night we were doing a deal with some of our mentors that take an active part in the roles of our players, and Steve Young was speaking to the group, and it was awesome. And he told the guys that you got to have the dream to play in the NFL, but you also have to have a plan for life. And what does that plan look like post-football? And that's what we're really trying to instill in these guys. We want them to reach their dreams. But to do it, you got to practice the right way. You got to play the right way. You got to grow your body the right way. And then you also got to have a plan post-football, whenever that is. And I think that that was a good lesson for those guys, is they got to have priorities in life. I like the focus and attention that they're all putting into the football, but we got to continue to get them better in all aspects of life.
Okay, we'll finish with a couple of quick hitters. Ask the same question to A-Rod. What is the best thing you have seen either on or off the field through 1 week of fall camp?
The addition of some depth has really helped us. The competition level is getting better. I would say those things in conjunction with one another.
And finally, how do you decompress after coaching a practice in fall camp?
Well, it's hard. A lot of times I'll go for a run. I might sit in the sauna for a minute before I go home, so I'm not ornery. Spending time with players after practice and just kind of seeing where they're at usually helps bring me back down and be grounded. It's amazing. These players go through so much that the fans and even we don't always see. I think just those guys have a way of just bringing you back to what's reality, and I think that's awesome.
Are you an ice bath guy?
I will do that sometimes. The older I get, the more I got a chance of cramping in the ice bath. I got to be careful with that.
Good luck with that, and good luck the rest of fall camp.
Thank you so much.
Jay's a tough guy. He can handle the ice bath. Kenneth Rooks probably needs a few ice baths after that remarkable red-hot run last night. His accomplishment in the Olympics is the greatest by a BYU athlete since fill in the blank. This is BYUSN.
Look at that picture.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Our question of the day: Kenneth Rooks winning a silver medal at the Paris Olympics is the greatest individual accomplishment by a current or former BYU athlete since at Schmidt Colton Lennox says Puka Nacua broke the all-time records for rookie receptions and yards. I'm not saying Puka's is on the same level, but that in my eyes, it fits the parameters.
You don't need, you're good. You're good,
sure,
Schmidt
your
Colton.
Your opinion however you want.
Absolutely.
Darts only. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from at CL underscore living on X, who says, since the very same Kenneth Rooks got back up after falling to then win the national championship. There's some real truth in that. Today's Rise is shout out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Who deserves it, Jason?
I don't know. Did somebody do something monumental in the last 24 hours? I'm trying to think. Kenneth Rooks.
Yes.
Kenneth Rooks gets
awesome.
the Ryzen shout-out today.
So fun to watch him celebrate with his family.
Yeah.
And have his wife there and, like, all of the support and them chanting his name as he ran into a restaurant and a celebratory dinner. And
yeah. Running through the group and then, yeah, that was awesome. The whole day was just magical if you think about it.
It was a great day.
Yes, it was.
I'm going to go watch the race a few more times.
I'm gonna go actually run the steeplechase.
You're gonna go right. Jason's gonna run the steeplechase in about 3 hours.
Have the ambulance nearby.
Our thanks to today's guests, the offensive coordinator Aaron Roderick and defensive coordinator Jay Hill of BYU Football.
Conversation continues 24/7.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Frankie Fredericks. Go Cougs.